Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, as well as YouTube. It's a Dark Mark show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. We're in the studio two times in a row. Unbelievable. I'm going to turn the camera around. And
good evening.
There she is.
Hi.
She jumped the gun. Everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Nice to see everyone out there.
Now, like I said, we skipped last week because I was in San Diego, but you're in the studio 2 weeks in a row.
I know. I'm excited. I love being in the studio.
And you picked one guest, and I picked the other.
Yeah, and I think we got a lot of chemistry out of it.
So far, so good. It's going to be a fun show. We have first, straight out of Houston, which apparently doesn't scare people. We'll talk about that later. But she's a rock star. She just came out with an album entitled
Fun Box.
Fun Box. And I like her music. I like her just meeting her already on the street and all the shenanigans. There she is, Sherry Rockefeller.
Cherry.
Did I say Sherry?
It does look like Sherry, and it's spelled like Cherie. So it is hard to find my record, C-H-E-R-I. But my mom's redneck, right? She can't spell cherry. Right. She was 16 from San Angelo, Texas.
So it's
Cherry.
Cherry Rockefeller.
But it looks like Cherie. Cherry.
So you can see I never met this woman before in my life. She's a stalker. She just came to the studio.
I'm stalking. He's good looking.
Am I?
He scared the hell out of me. I was in love.
Okay, well, there you go. Also,
I went to the door and went, wah!
I'm not the only handsome man in the studio because you're sitting right next to this guy right here. We did a show. And Nicole, you know I do a lot of comedy shows.
I do,
And I'm not impressed with a lot of comedians
because
I hear a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with this guy because he's very funny and he's all over the place. He's all over.
I appreciate
all over town.
That.
He's got a Comedy Cube special on YouTube. I forget what it's called, but I just watched it and it's very funny.
I do. Thank you. It's you could just look up Brandon Black Comedy Cube and it should pop up.
Yes, it's Brandon Black straight out of Compton. There he is.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Brandon,
for having me.
This is gonna be a crazy show. We got all sorts of shenanigans coming on. Like I said, you guys have more in common than you know.
Really?
Oh yeah. So we're gonna get into that.
And South Central. From South
I'm
Central.
I'm sorry, it's not Compton.
Not Compton.
Okay, we're going to get into it. Hold on one second, because I got to get
Oh, don't mess that up.
We got to get our sponsors in real quick. But we don't have our first sponsor, and I'll tell you why. We are sponsored by Raze Energy Drink, R-A-Z-E. It's the best energy drink. It's so good. I had four. No, don't worry about the Grey Goose. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
It mixes with Grey Goose just fine.
Well, trust me. You know what? It really does. I've had it with vodka. It's amazing. Raise energy drink. The reason I don't have it is because my landlord and a handyman came to fix my plumbing last week, and I had five cans of Raise left over from my case, and I'll tell you how to order a case in a second. But they liked it so much, they're like, "Can we try one of these?" I'm like, "Sure," and they're like, "Oh, this is so great! Can we take one of these home?" So then I was down to one, and I was really tired one day, and I had to drink it. So I got another case on the way, and you can get your own case. And the best part of Raise Energy Drink, they have great flavors like sour gummy worms. They have, I don't know which one to get because you really like the Baja Lime, which tastes like Baja Fresh.
You can get whatever you want.
But you like that one.
But I like the Fruit Punch one too.
That's right. They have Voodoo Fruit Punch. They have all sorts of great flavors. The best tasting energy drink, and I've tried them all. I tried Red Bull. I tried Rockstar. I tried them all. Obscure ones you never heard of, like ones with horny goat reed. That one's called Raw Dog. Steven Seagal had an energy drink. They had one called Buku that was 24 ounces. This one's better than all of them. Tastes great. And the best part, zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash. In the description, if you're listening on the podcast catcher or on our YouTube page, there is a link where you can get 15% off a case of Raise Energy Drink. Well, I can see that Cherry wants to talk. So let me get into this. Now, Cherry, and by the way, Nicole, and you're the one that's responsible for Cherry being on the show.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Already she's a ball of energy.
Yeah.
But Cherry, you're from Houston.
Yes,
Houston,
I
Texas.
Am.
The accent gave it away. And how is Houston? Because you were telling
me. It's hot.
No,
okay. You know you're home when that sweat goes down the crack of your butt? Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'm home because it's doing that right now. But
yeah, it's hot in here. This is nothing like Houston. It's a wonderful town. Great people. Lots of good rap. A lot of good music.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I raised five kids there, right? So I just about done everything that there was to do. I had a company called All Houston Clowns. I was a professional clown.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna get to all. We're gonna get into all.
Oh, see, I talked too far.
Okay, sure. No, Cherry. I don't want you to like give your whole life story in 5 minutes. And we have nothing to talk about for an hour because I want you to expand on things. Now, first off, I want to clear something up. You are not affiliated with Jay-Z's Rockefeller.
Absolutely not. Okay, this is a very important thing because I made up Cherry Rockefeller in 1988.
Did you copyright
it? Okay, no, this was just a gangster name that I was performing at on Sixth Street as a punk rocker. I made it up as a joke, as a parody of rockabilly because I couldn't stand that rockabilly crap. And then there was a lot of preppy girls, and we, you know, like the punk bars next to the fraternity kids was real irritating. So I had this song called Punk Slut. So I just made myself Cherry Rockefeller and had a song called Punk Slut.
Do you remember?
I'm a punk slut. I'm a sick mutt. Oh, yeah, it's really. I'm not sure about your audience if they could handle it.
Well, obviously, you haven't seen any of our previous shows because.
I have, but I'm just saying.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Well, okay, as the night goes on, we'll get to that Punk Slut if you want me to. It's got verses.
No, right now. Tell me one of the verses of Punk Slut. I want to hear this.
Okay, I'm a punk slut. I'm a sick mutt. Oh, wait, let me get from the beginning. I got to get the flow going with it because it goes, I'm a punk slut. I'm a shocker. Find me a preppy so I can sock her and bring her viciously to her knees and kick her teeth out. I want to wear my battle bracelet to the hole. It's made of ponytails and teeth, you know. I want to go back to mother. I want to fuck my little brother. My hair is purple. My hair is green. And if you look closer, there's blood in between. It goes, I'm a punk slut. I'm a sick mutt. I can't remember all the words. It goes, okay. I think I'm carrying somebody's baby. I'm not sure. I think his name is Randy, Rusty, or something. Well, anyway, I won't live long. I caught rabies. I'm already foaming at the mouth. They're getting ready to send me cells. That's where they bury dead punk sluts after scalping their heads and hanging up their hair. It's a ritual. I'm hysterical. Get me out of here. I don't want to die a punk slut. It was something like that. It's been at least 28 years since I've ever sang that.
Right. And by the way, when she says rabies, she means herpes. But that's
well, you can put it anyway. I'm already foaming at the mouth.
Got it. So, very nice. And I know that. Yeah. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, you got like a whole.
Oh, damn, I'm good looking.
You're very punk. And, you know, like I said, I think you may have cribbed a couple of those verses from Emily Dickinson. But which reminds me, by the way, Nicole, tell everybody about your poetry book.
I just had a poetry book come out called Slow Burn, and it's doing really well. I also, it got me noticed to maybe write in a magazine, and I can't say anything about it yet, but it's a very famous magazine. So
yay!
I talked about the ED sponsor. You can talk about it. No, that's okay.
No, I can't. Not until it's 100%, but yeah.
It's a good for you. Anyway, so, let me, Brandon, so
yes, sir.
We'll get back to you in a second. You said no. You were born and raised in South Central, but you said not Compton.
Yeah, not Compton. Born and raised in South Central.
So
Compton is further south.
Right. So you were born and raised in the Valley. Like, what are you talking about?
No, Florence and Normandy.
Oh, okay. So right where all the shit went.
Down. Right where the riots happened, man. Right. I grew up there. Yeah.
No, yeah. You were the guy that pulled that guy out of the truck.
I wasn't. I was.
No, you're just talking about.
What's funny is I know him though.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I do know him.
You know the guy that pulled the guy out of the
Yeah, yeah. He knew my pops and some of my cousins and stuff. So
yeah.
I got to meet him.
How old were you in the ride?
No, yeah. You had to be probably like a kid.
I was 4. Yeah,
right.
I was 4.
Right.
So I remember certain images of riding around there, but I don't remember everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was a rough neighborhood. And watching your special, I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but your father's been incarcerated for some time.
Yeah, yeah. My father's been incarcerated for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 30 years. I talked to him today, too, or yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's okay?
Yeah, he's good. He's good, man. He just got in a dog program in prison, so he's training dogs to be service workers or helpers for people with disabilities. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw it on Oz, but he's not gonna be the guy, like the crazy guy that teaches the dog to attack the cigars.
No, no, man. He's a super like born again Christian, man. Yeah. So yeah, that's not even on his mind. He just want to come home. So right. yeah, but he's good, man. He's good, and it's funny because different family members would tell him certain jokes I come up with, and he supports. He laughs like, "Oh man, you got at me like that." So
every joke,
man. Oh, okay. They didn't told him a couple and stuff, and I told him one, the joke about having a boyfriend and stuff in there. He laughed at that too, like, "Man, you crazy, man."
Yeah.
Let me hear it. Come on, I didn't hear it.
Oh, the joke.
Yeah.
It goes like. True story. He called me one time. I was living with my grandmother, right? And he was like, "Man, you with your grandma, you and your girl getting serious, man. Don't you want to move out, man, and listen to the rain on the windowsill?" And I'm like, what type of OJ song is this? What are you talking about? He like, "Yeah, but let me ask you something, man. I hope you ain't out there having sex, Jack." And I'm like, "What? Dad, let me ask you something. I hope you're not in there having sex."
I saw that. But and also the other thing that he talks to you in like 70s jargon because he was thrown into jail.
Oh yeah,
he's been in jail since the early
90s. Yeah, man. So he called me yesterday. As soon as I answered the phone, I'm like, "Hello." He like, "What up, Jive Turkey?" I'm like, "No, I'm chilling, man." Yeah. "Oh yeah, you cooling? Yeah. That's what's up, man. I can dig it."
Right. Now let me ask you something, because my no, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you my show, but I know.
Oh!
I was gonna ask because my real last name is, as some people know, and people that have our Facebook friends, is White.
Okay.
And your last name is Black.
Yeah.
You ever get shit for that? Because I got shit for being having White as a last name.
I'm gonna tell y'all the secret. My real last name is actually McCoy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like some Star Trek shit.
Yeah, no, it's actually McCoy.
You're that Black Scottish.
Yeah, I'm able to get a job so easy, man. You know, and I walk in, it's me, Brandon McCoy. So a lot of people don't know that, but Black came about. I used to rap.
Well, we kind of got how it came about. No, go ahead. You were going
to
say.
Yeah, no, I used to rap. I used to want to be a rapper back in the day.
Yeah.
And, I did a lot of music stuff in my early 20s with my boy Urban E.P. Pope and stuff. So Brandon Black was part of that. And I just carried it to comedy because I was like, I didn't like the way Brandon McCoy flowed, like getting called to the stage. "Welcome, Brandon McCoy."
And you expect "Hi, how are you? I'm Brandon McCoy."
Yeah.
"Hello."
Exactly, man. So Black, you know what I mean? Yeah. I've been rolling with that. Somebody said I could go back, but nah, I think I'm gonna stick with that.
Yeah, no, but having White as a last name.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the, I gotta be honest with you, the four of us, and it's so weird because I read a lot of articles about things, and everybody describes people that came up poor as quote unquote hard scrabble.
Right.
Like everybody's Damon Runyon or something, but. But we all came up poor, and I came up in I was in a predominantly Black neighborhood with the last name White, and I was a white guy, and boy, I got a lot of shit. But even when I went to California, people call my high school nickname was Purple.
Really?
Which is it doesn't even make sense. So it's
one Purple. Of
those, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Dr. Purple, because I was smart and everybody cheated. So I was Dr. Purple.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was one of those.
It was another, if you had a Black friend named Mark, then you would have been White Mark. Did that ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Like being a...
You know, I'm trying to think. You know, that might have been. Also, I also had a nickname in elementary school, Droopy George, but that's a whole different thing.
Anyway,
so, but you grew up in Houston. Like I say, you didn't grow up, now you're in a nice neighborhood and your neighbors with superstars, but you didn't have it easy.
I grew up in Marble Falls. I didn't grow up in Houston.
Okay, so what's Marble Falls?
Marble Falls is a tiny little town on the lakes in the central part of Texas, about an hour from Austin.
Okay.
So it was really small. When I was a child, there was
a
four-way stop. And then it became a red light.
Right.
And now it's a town that's like, you know, Austin grew so much that we never imagined they would almost connect, you know. But they're not quite suburbs, but it's still... It's not the same town that I grew up in.
Kinda
but
like
the
Loveland,
guy that I did
Colorado.
The record with, Rex, he grew up on the same street as me, Avenue E. This little bitty street, Avenue E. I was the tomboy. I only played with the boys. You know, I rode my bike, my skateboard. I was never in the house, like always outside, barefooted, bathing suit. bicycle. That's it. No shoes. I'm not kidding. No, we're it's all, the we're South. All, we don't need shoes.
Mental pictures.
What do you need shoes for? It's Marble Falls.
Yeah, that doesn't sound.
Rex lived at the end of the street. I lived in the middle, and then another end of the street is the lake. But Rex's mom would never let him go out and hang out with the other kids. And he's the guitar player on my record. He plays every single instrument. He did the bass, every instrument. He also produced it. But when we were
did
kids.
Did he name it too? A Fun Box? Or who named
well,
it?
Well, okay, here's the story about Fun Box. I wrote Fun Box. Okay, my coach had a show in the 70s that had, it was a kids show. And he's my songwriting coach in New York. So. Yeah, so I wanted to write a show about some kind of song as a joke for him. And the toy box on his show was called the Fun Things Box, and all kind of stuff could come out of it. So I wrote a song, Fun Box, and I put a lot of effort into all the crazy, sexy things that could come out of my box, right? And then Rex took all of them out and just left, I want to play in your Fun Box. I want to play in your Fun Box over and over. And I was like, oh, my God. And my kids were in high school. No. They were like, Mom, do you know what that means? Oh, it was hilarious. I'm like, yeah. Like, so then my son, he's like, he didn't want my, one of the reasons I went back to Cherry Rockefeller is because my kids, they, I didn't want to embarrass them that all of a sudden my mom is going to be a rock star. Okay, our real name is Schlosser. And Rex's last name is Schnelly. No, do you want to be Schlosser? I can't even say Schlosser and Schnelly, right? It's impossible. You sound like ambulance chaser. Ambulance chaser.
Brandon McCoy.
Cherry Schlosser is my real name. So Cherry Rockefeller, I went back to that. And when I was in Nashville recording, I have to always say, I don't sing country. So when I would say I'm Cherry Rockefeller, they loved it. They thought that was the coolest name. Like, oh, then they knew I was rock and roll. And not one person told me about Jay-Z. No one told me about Jay-Z. Not my kids, not my coach, not Rex. No one ever mentioned Jay-Z, and I didn't even know about this until during COVID.
Wow. Mm.
And my song pulled up Jay-Z on YouTube, and I was like, why is Cherry Rockefeller pulling up Jay-Z? And it was him who was really young, and I went, that looks like Jay-Z. Oh shit. How come nobody told me this, right? Beyonce is from Houston.
Right.
She is the queen of Houston.
Oh yeah.
But you know, no one mentioned this Rockefeller thing. No, but I still have to say I had it first, right? Yeah, and mine's R-O-C-K. His is just R-O-C, right? I'm rock for rock and roll.
So, God damn it, you could have had some money.
I know. I got to meet Jay-Z. And if he comes over, because my next door neighbor is Big Nas. He just bought the property next door.
Really?
So you tell Jay-Z, come on over. He wants to meet the real Rockefeller.
Oh! I'll send him a text after the show. But
Yeah. He's waiting for our calls.
But speaking of huge stars, now, being in close proximity to Austin when you grew up, now how do you go from punk to playing with members of Stevie Ray Vaughan's band?
I guess I went from playing with Stevie Ray, the guy with, he is the keyboard player for Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Right.
Mike Kendrick.
The great blues.
Well, after I left that band, I started doing my punk thing.
Right.
So the thing is, Mike Kendrick did not want me to sing in the band.
Right.
Because everywhere we went, because he wrote Cold Shot, we could get booked off the song Cold Shot. If you've been in anything with Stevie Ray Vaughan, you get booked everywhere. And we had to sing Cold Shot all the time. But he didn't want me to sing. And the bass player was saying, Cherry's got all these great songs. Like, she's writing all these great songs. And the guitar player, they were like, let Cherry write some songs. Oh, no. He's a famous songwriter, so he didn't want me writing songs. They didn't want to have to pay the girls more either. They don't want to have to pay the girls. So Robert said, why don't you just go start your own thing?
Right.
And so I was like, okay.
Well, let me repeat the question. How do you go to playing with the guy who wrote Cold Shot and was in Stevie Ray Vaughan's band? How did that happen?
Oh, I didn't really get hired to be in his band as a singer. I got hired as a model.
Oh.
So what happened is they were just old blues guys, and they're not good looking at all, right? And they're really old and boring, so they thought it would really help their band if they hired some pretty girls. And so they called the different talent agencies, and I got hired from one talent agency, and the other girl got hired from the other one, and we got there, and we became best friends.
Right.
Serena Devine, Serena Lopez Devine, if you were out there, you talk about a girl that is from the South, from outside of New Orleans. It's not
so they
even,
had their own Fly Girls, basically.
So, yeah, we were the Fly Girls. Exactly.
Right.
But Serena didn't really want to sing, you know. She just, but she ended up, unfortunately, marrying Robert, which was the bass player, so she really had it bad. We were a very fun band called the Counterfeits.
Well, you'd have to be, obviously. So,
the Counterfeits. We were very unruly.
We were not acceptable on any level.
I don't care if we're blues or not. No, we were just bad characters.
Tell me some tales of Austin debauchery. What happened?
Okay, well, okay, this band that I was in consisted of, I guess Robert, he is in prison. Now, let me just explain about him. He is such a scammer. Recently, the last that I heard about him is that he pretended he was booking Ted Nugent, and he took money from some nightclubs, and he really wasn't booking Ted Nugent, and he spent the money. So I'm telling you, he's a scammer. But Mike Kindred's not a scammer. But our whole entire band was a bunch of chaos. We had a big black drummer from California, and I mean, he's big, and his name's Paul Mills. Okay. And Paul Mills, he is so good at the drums that twice he kicked the bass, and it just busted it. Twice.
That's a heavy hitter.
Wow.
Dude, he's heavy. And then, so then we had an electric guitar player that was real fast with long hair, like 80s hair, and he was from San Francisco. And then we had two beautiful girls. It was just a band that didn't make any sense at all, right? It made no sense at all. And we drove around and wore fur coats and get out of our Mercedes and act like we're somebody in the middle of some little town like Lubbock, Odessa. We roll in like we're hot shit with sunglasses, like we were ZZ Top. We was all fake.
Cherry, come on. You walked around Silver Lake right now like you were.
I'm sober, yeah.
No, not that you were sober. You were trotting around like you were a star. You got the heels. You got the. You know you're a star.
Girl, I mean, this is this outfit, this kind of stuff that I am. Yeah. I've always been like this.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause so see, you've always had that okay, fire. when Mark saw me trying to park, I had on what are they 7 or 8 inch heels? I'm not really sure, but we can measure.
Brandon, let me see. They're down there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's. That's
these cool. are really good.
It's probably
right?
like seven.
I mean,
huh?
These are sexy.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. I mean, when you put on shoes like that, it gives you attitude.
For sure.
It's the same with boots, and it's the same with being a professional clown. I used to train with Ringling Brothers.
Oh, we're gonna get to the clown in a second.
It's the shoes. You put the shoes on, you feel like a clown.
High heel shoes make you sexy, Nicole.
I don't really wear them often because I'm 5'9", but when I do, yes, they make me feel sexier.
All right.
She's tall. I'm 5'9". That's and you're lucky.
Not, and you're not, but that's okay. Brandon's tall.
Yeah.
That was when I was looking at your biography. Yeah, you still are a music producer.
Yeah.
So how deep did you get in the rap game?
You know what? Irvin E.P. Pope is a dude who went to my church, and my Sunday school teacher, he was like a mentor to us. It was just a class full of young dudes.
So these are rappers mentored by a pastor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in a sense, you know what I mean? I think I was the only one that rapped in a Sunday school class, but I told him I wanted to make beats as well. You know what I mean? I wanted to get on the producer end of things too. Because a lot of times artists, you know, they're in the forefront, mm-hmm. but I'm like, they don't make as much money as a producer a lot of times, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So,
yeah,
I'm like, I want to do both. If I could produce my own beats, then I don't have to depend on anybody. Mm-hmm. So then I ended up getting connected with EP at about 16, and me and him, you know, been rocking ever since. I didn't place any beats, you know what I mean? I did send some out to some popular rappers, but they didn't pick anything. But, yeah, that's what I was doing until I started getting into comedy, man.
Are you still doing it or no?
I haven't produced in probably 2 years. Mm. Yeah. I still got everything at my house, man, but I haven't even been focusing on it. Everything's been going to comedy.
Oh, yeah. No.
Now he has somebody.
I think we got a collaboration here. But
I know, right?
I think so.
But any tales of rap debauchery that you might have that can compare to that?
You know what? I don't think it could compare to at all, man.
Were you rapping Christian or you were just rapping?
No, nah, just regular rapping. Okay. Just regular rapping.
There is a Christian rap genre.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is. When I started rapping, which was like in middle school, it wasn't really Christian rap wasn't really popping like that. So, you know what I mean? As a kid, of course, I wasn't like cussing or rapping about ass or whatever, whatever.
Your grandmother kicked the shit out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Her, my mom and everything, man. But as I got older, I still kind of didn't go that route. Like, I got one song on YouTube that me and my boy, Brandon Brown.
It's so funny. Brandon Brown and Brandon Black?
And that's his actual that's last amazing. Name. Right. Yeah, we was like brothers, man.
I know Brandon White. We can get a hold of him.
Bring him in, man. Bring him in. Yeah, we did a song called Inner At, and another one, too, called... I gotta look at the name, but it was, I was speaking from the perspective of a pimp, like telling this hoes to go get his money. So it was kind of like,
kind of like my life.
Exactly. I remember at the comedy show, you was telling me what type of hoes come for you, man.
What's his name? Westside brought his mother, and I was vibing.
I saw that. I was paying attention to it, man.
So I got a question.
Go ahead.
You have on this fantastic hat that's got a rose embroidered in it. Mm-hmm. Is that like a fashion line or?
Yeah, this is actually a brand of mine I created in 2015 called Black Rose Affair.
Oh.
Yeah, and the basis of it was to, the roses represent people that were born in situations and circumstances to where they would possibly be labeled a statistic.
Oh, man.
Or wouldn't be viewed as making it out of their situation. And then they eventually become successful. So Black Rose is just them, like somebody being viewed as a statistic, or you know what I mean, like that kid might not make it, but the affair is the party, the success. That's what affair in the name represents. So us making it from these dire situations and then become successful. That's beautiful, it's a really fine looking hat.
As soon as I got out and I saw him, the first thing I noticed was the hat.
It's a great hat.
Appreciate it.
Really quality stitching too.
Yeah, I could tell. That's why I had to ask if it was his design, because there's a lot of care that went into that.
I'm glad you asked that, because now I want you to see your clothing line. Right?
Tell us a website where we can see that.
You know what? I had a website and then I put it down.
You lost the URL.
Yeah, my fiance say I got ADD because I be all over the place, and it is hard for me to focus on one thing a lot of times. Yeah. So I was doing it for a minute, and I was getting some real success, and then I stopped for a while. I actually ran out of money because I was funding it myself, and then I'm taking care of personal situations and helping family out. So I was just like, man, I can't keep funding this and going. So I had a website. I did dismantle it. And then I was starting up again. So I actually came out with one particular shirt that said, you act rich, I act broke, we're both liars, right? And I was like,
that's great.
You act rich, I act broke, we're both liars.
Oh, I like
that's great.
Yeah, so I was like, man, let me see what this will do. And I probably sold about maybe like 300 of those, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So that did well. And I was like, okay, I need to bring this back. So I made a couple of hats and stuff, sold some hats. So I still haven't finished the website. I started building it myself.
Is there any way you can order any of these things? Because if you got 2XL in that shirt, I'll take it.
You know what? I got to check. I think I do have 2XL at the house.
Yeah.
So I could get you one for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. But just be on the lookout for Black Rose. It's coming.
Yeah, definitely. If I could just focus.
You have the hats?
I think I have a couple left at the house as well. Yeah, I could reach out to you and get you one for sure.
After this YouTube drops, people will be wanting the hats.
Okay, for sure. Cool. Yeah.
I have a red mini skirt that goes with that.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, perfect. I need to figure out how to focus myself.
Well,
sit down.
You know what? You perfect with the segue because we have one more sponsor.
Okay.
Nicole's going to tell you, this might help you focus.
Well, first I'm going to do something. So I have in my purse CBD, and I didn't get this from Charlie, but Charlie has amazing CBD, and I like CBD a lot. It makes me more...
Charlie Renegade you're talking about.
I'm getting there, yes.
Focus smart.
Anyway.
I got ADD.
I was going to say that I like CBD products because they put me in a very good state. They help with anxiety, and they're wonderful. And we have several Renegade products. We have the Renegade Kush and the Renegade CBD, and they'll be coming soon. And I'm getting a new package of samples, so I'll probably try a little on radio soon.
Good.
Oh, nice.
Well, hopefully we'll get that on video too. We'll figure that out.
We'll figure it out.
And I'll have that for you just in case that, you know, like abortion becomes illegal again. But anyway, so some blackmail material for you. Anyway, so no, I wouldn't do that.
I think Nicole's CBD is working because she is locked in a box with three super hyper ADD people.
And I'm so chill.
She's so calm.
She knows. Like, yeah, you came into a whirlwind, didn't you?
And I like it. I like when it's active.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but it's hard to get a word in edgewise.
I speak up when I need to.
Okay, well.
That's how we know about the hats.
Yes.
That's true.
I noticed it was a cool hat, but I was more focused on the Dave Chappelle shirt, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
Fair enough.
We've been talking around it. You were a clown.
I was a clown.
And if people know me, they know I dated a clown.
Really?
And I, yeah, hot clown.
Clownalyn Monroe.
Yes. And
yes, that is freaking hot. See, now, yeah. I have a friend named Snazzy who did a sexy, cute clown with the high heels and lipstick, but never a Marilyn Monroe clown.
No, the Marilyn.
So that's really original.
Clownalyn Monroe. Yeah, she, the only problem was we went to her place, she got naked, and I was disappointed because her feet were normal size.
That's not your foot fetish?
I don't have a foot fetish. Brandon, are you into feet?
You know what? I am into feet.
Okay.
I don't think to the extent of some men, but I do appreciate some pretty feet. Yeah, I don't mind, you know what I mean?
I'm not sucking a toe or two. But if you have bad feet, I'm going to be kind of turned off.
Right. Yes. So I think we're all
definitely
down
a turn off. Yeah. Facts.
What feet do you like? Tell me what's a good foot.
What's a good foot? Not too big. Definitely your toenails done. I like French tip on toes, but I'm a fan of any color. And keeping them moisturized too. Yeah. Like have them nice and moisturized.
No,
you know,
ashy
what I mean?
Feet.
Please, no ashy feet.
So wait a second. So yeah. Who do you think is like who's your celebrity crush? Who do you think is like the hottest?
Oh man, where do I got a long list of those?
Give me one name.
One name, celebrity crush off the top of my head that I could think of. You know what? I like Taraji P. Henson. I have a thing for older women now too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, baby. I'm scooting over.
Yeah, Sherry doesn't count.
Is it okay?
Okay. So, Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah.
Everything was everything that you've seen on screen.
Yeah.
And she had, like, size 12 feet. You're out.
Yeah, you know what? I think so. Because I wear a 13. It's like, whoa, can we wear the same shoe? We both got these big-ass shoes in the house. Yeah, I might be out.
Size 13, and yeah, I bet you got the shoes with the size right on them, too, huh?
Yeah.
Just you got the size 13.
Well,
okay, I'm scooting
too,
closer.
Shout out to Eddie.
Yeah. Oh, we don't need Eddie. I'm sorry. No, Eddie is the sponsor. We need Eddie. Yeah, we're going to go all night.
Oh, yeah. No, we need Eddie. But Eddie might need something. Eddie. Anyway, so Sherry, so tell me about how did you get into clowning?
Okay, well, honestly, this is the true story. I came here to do a rat video. And
a rat video.
17.
Oh, the
and then
rat.
Later, I didn't end up being in the video because R-A-T-T. The director, who I'm going to shout him out because he's a jerk, named Mark Rezica, and he said, oh, well, if you don't have banana tits, you can't be in the video. Because he wanted to see my tits.
What are banana tits?
Banana tits.
Well, I don't know, but I don't have them. So I said, well, I'm definitely not going to be in your video. So later on, anyway, it's a long story. I became friends with Robin Crosby from Rat.
Right.
And we were super drunk. I was doing all these tumbling tricks. Like, right. I had been head cheerleader, right? And I'm standing on my head, and I'm doing the splits. And I was literally, okay, I was mocking that video girl that was really famous at the time.
Tawny
Catan. Exactly. And I was acting like I was Tawny Catan. And I was doing back waffles, but I was really, really being a dorky. He goes, Jerry, you need to be a clown. Man, you are the best clown. Like, you ought to be a clown. Like, I had him laughing until he was about to wet his pants. I had no idea until COVID, until YouTube, that Tawny Catan was his first girlfriend. And that they were boyfriend and girlfriend in high school in San Diego, moved here. I didn't know any of this. I did not know that she was the legs with the rat crawling up him on the album cover. Mm-hmm. None of this. The whole time I'm mocking her and doing this thing in the back was just totally coming out of my head as a joke because I didn't get to be in the video because I didn't have banana tits.
Right.
But for the record, I became I'm a clown, sure. and I always remembered what Tawny Robin Potatoes said, and I became a clown.
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure I don't have banana tits. Yeah. I don't know what those are.
It sounds like creepy, right?
Skateboard ramp tits. Like,
by the way, this isn't
skate ramp. That's what I was thinking.
This isn't Rat's glory years.
This was their glory years. This was the Wanted Man video. If you go back and you look, you can look it up. The Wanted Man video. And I never told anyone this. This is the first time I'm telling anyone
this. I'm going to Google banana tits and then get the
rat
video.
Okay, even Robin didn't know this, that I'm the voice when they're getting on the bus on this video for Wanted Man. I'm a wanted man. And these groupie girls are going, oh, I think they're so cute. I like them all. It's me. It's me. I made that shit up.
Hold on. Brandon's laughing. What did he say, banana tits?
No, I Googled banana tits. And I went to images, though. So, yeah, it's kind of like.
Oh, my God.
Where's your ramp?
No. No, God.
Yeah. Okay, I get
no.
it.
I think you blessed not to have banana
thank
tits.
Thank you, God, no.
Are those teardrops? What are those?
Yeah.
I would cry if I had it.
Oh, yeah, I can't show that on screen, but yeah.
Yeah, don't show
bad.
That on screen. But...
That's a bad boob job. That's, that's like one's going north, one's going south. Right? I don't know what's going on.
Be happy you didn't get that
what
video.
To say about yeah. that.
Be happy you didn't get the video.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But anyways.
Banana tits. That was the first time I ever heard of that.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm my own video. Now I'm my own record. That's I write right. my own songs, and I'm That's glad right. I'm not in anybody's video.
There
so
you go.
Let's go back to the clown thing. So you then become a clown
yes,
because they
so
said.
After I got back to Texas, you know, after I left Hollywood, my parents dragged me home because I was partying too much at the Rainbow and really out of control. So that was when I was, you know, 20, 19 to 20. From 17 to 20, I lived here. Went back to Texas. Ended up years later getting married and having these kids that I couldn't afford. I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? And I was literally praying. And I remember I said,
so you
Lord.
You went from one stereotype to another.
Yeah. I was going, God, please, how am I going to feed these kids? And then two words came. And I, you know, people say they don't believe that God speaks out loud, but I'm yeah. telling you, I heard two words and it was singing telegrams. It sounds ridiculous.
I believe you.
I was telling my, it was my ex-husband. I'm like, singing telegrams. Okay. We've got to get some helium. And this, and that's exactly what I did. I charged a $14 classified ad for a singing telegram. And then I went to the thrift store and I got a band uniform and I got a bazooka horn. And my first customer called, paid $100, sang to happy birthday, gave him some balloons, ordered the next one. And then I was Marilyn Monroe. I kept on investing in costumes and everything.
Oh, wow.
And then now I am a world champion clown. I'm not just a clown. Like, I got trophies.
I'm glad God took time out of his day to say,
singing telegrams. He did. It might have been an angel. Right. I don't know who it was. It might have been a saint.
Not world peace, not cure cancer.
It was probably Saint Jude.
Well, I firmly, I believe that if you, still yourself and you get calm and you get in that state of mind that you can have breakthroughs, and I think that's a fun breakthrough. Like it helped.
It was an answer to a prayer. And let me tell you, I never lost money on singing telegrams ever. Nice. And on a Valentine's Day, boom, 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 boom.
So
right?
how did the clown get better than Marilyn Monroe and all these other things that you dressed as?
Well, I guess I was just a natural clown, and I started taking classes, and I went to the Groundlings. I took classes with the Groundlings, Ringling Brothers. I went to every kind of conference that would come to Houston. Mm-hmm. And Dallas, and I trained. I just kept on training, and I'm naturally funny. Face it.
You're cracking everybody. You're cracking everybody.
I'm serious. Oh, you don't really. You can try to teach people to be funny, but
yeah,
no, I just can't. Trust me.
You can have tricks. You can have costumes. You can give them everything. And I was a clown trainer. I was clown boss. I had a team of 20 people under me.
This definitely is a perfect guess.
Clown mafia.
I just want to be a clown.
The clown mafia. Oh,
did you really?
When you want to write a book about scary clown stories, girl, Nicole, we are getting together.
Yeah.
Well, let's get together right now. Tell us a scary clown story.
Do you have one?
Okay, I've got funny clown stories,
tell us a funny clown story.
Okay, here's one right after 9/11. And everyone was freaking out about Muslims.
Beginning.
No, this is true. Yes. So my clown, Bobo, he goes over to the part of town of Houston, which is Sugar Land, and it's where all the Muslims live, right?
All right.
And And there's this really nice family, and they're having a big birthday party. And then Bobo the Clown does this thumb trick where he has the thumb cuffs, and he locks himself to the sky to one of the Muslim men. And they're wearing all of their traditional clothes and all their, it's like a really family event. But he can't get to come, he can't get it unlocked.
Oh no.
He can't, and he can't. And he's such a funny clown that they didn't believe him. He had done so many jokes that they just didn't believe him. And they keep laughing and laughing. Finally, they literally had to call the police. Then they had to call the fire department. They got Vaseline. They're greasing their thumbs. And then he had to get in the cop car, went in the back of the cop car, Muslim cop to a clown, and go all the way downtown to Houston, dude, to get that shit off. And it's worse because I was having a baby. So my mom was answering my phone for me. She goes, I think you're going to have to hear this one. She goes, and all it was the answering machine where Bobo is going, Rowdy. That's my clown name, Rowdy.
The clown.
He goes, it was one message after the other. It started out like, I'm stuck. And then, Rowdy, I don't know how to get loose. And then, Rowdy, the police are here. And then, Rowdy, I'm at the police. Help me.
I'm handcuffed to a Muslim. Right.
At 9/11, dude. And that family called and booked him back every year for their birthday party.
That's amazing.
Wow, they were my regular customers. They thought it was hilarious. They had a great sense of humor.
That's dope.
Do you have a scary clown story?
You know what? Most people would try to call me in the night and want me to and go, can you send a scary clown? To terrify my son.
Amazing.
I said, what? He goes, my son's 2 years old and he's a pussy. I just want to hire a clown to come and terrify him. I was like, well, we don't do that kind of thing, right? Sicko. So when I first started my business, it was 24 hours. I would answer the phone before I had an answering service. Right. And I would get... drunk Asian lady. Oh, we so dog. We want clown. We gonna have sex with clown. We gonna have sex with clown. Oh, yeah, come on, clown. We want nasty clown. We want big cock clown. We want big cock clown. I'm not even making this shit up. This is real stuff.
Everybody wants big cock clown.
Big cock clown. Big cock clown. I said, BCC, we don't measure our clowns that way. But we have large feet. That's a sign.
Now, how did you become a clown world champion?
Oh, okay, by competing. Now, I'm a writer, so I would write my own skits, and you know, the comedy rule of threes, boom, boom, mm-hmm. boom, and you have to know the rules. The way to win is to know the rules. It's like any other game. You gotta know the rules of the competition, or you can't win. So, like, we had this one huge parade thing where I didn't win because I didn't follow the rules, and that's the one that really pissed me off. Every time I didn't win, it's because I went overtime. And if everyone's laughing, I can't help it. I would rather get that last joke in and go overtime and not win, but get the laugh.
You ran the lights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cardinal sin.
You don't do that.
But mostly I win. But that's the only time I lose.
I would imagine you would be a female going up against a bunch of male clowns.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you should see me as a tramp clown, as a mime. Hmm. A mime. I'm a mime and I don't talk. Can you believe it, Mark?
Walk in the wind. Do some mime stuff for me. What's going on? Let me see this.
I mean, are you really going to see this? Or do you have the camera?
This is a camera right here. I'm filming you right here.
I used to be like, ride my bike. I can't do it when you can't see my feet. You can't see my feet.
You want me to bring the camera around? I'll do it.
Really?
Why not?
We used to do bicycle, everything. Yeah. We do slow motion. You got to get it. But see, now my new motion is...
Yes, that's right.
See, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Now I do this.
By the way, you remind me a lot of following Monroe. I just want to let you know. But you.
I just back my
head. Was there a lot?
You want to play in my fun box?
don't ask me rhetorical questions. But
he does.
No, but you're the big demand for mimes.
Wait, what?
Was there a big demand for mimes?
Yes. And there was this guy, Mick Corley, with the Texas Mime Theater.
Okay.
And I would hire him all the time. He's really expert. Like, I'm just goofing around on my miming. He's, like, really, really expert. Like, and he would teach my kids group. I had my own little kids group mimes. And he would come and train them. And we did library shows, school shows, YMCA. Like, every kind of corporate event. My day would start. Okay, you get up as early as you can and start doing your makeup and getting your costume on. The first party, an hour a drive, 10 o'clock to 2. Mm-hmm. And then I would drive another one, I'd drive another one. Houston is so big that I would end up driving 5 hours in one day.
Wow.
That's drive an hour to a party, do that party, drive an hour to the next party, do that party, drive another hour. Just like that and come home. And, man, my socks were stuffed with cash, baby.
Hmm. That's fantastic.
I literally had more money than a hooker. I was doing good as a clown, and now I'm broke as shit as a fucking musician. Oh. I ain't kidding you. This is bad.
Yeah, well, comedians don't bargain either. But let me tell you something. Well, I didn't notice your hat because you were wearing a Dave Chappelle at the Hollywood Bowl shirt.
Yeah.
But you weren't at that show.
I was not at that show.
Are you disappointed that you weren't at that show?
I am, actually, man. The show I went to was smooth. Like, Dave, I got to see Dave. He did, like, 40 minutes, funny new shit. Busta Rhymes performed. That was dope. I never
Busta
seen
Rhymes?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Busta Rhymes and Spliffstar performed for, like, 30, 40 minutes themselves. Wow. Yeah.
Because
I got there late. Traffic was so crazy. Bad. Like, yeah. I was in traffic for 2 hours trying to get there on time, man.
The Hollywood Bowl is, the traffic's horrible.
And then when I got to the bowl, they were like, yeah, our lot's full. You have to park on Hollywood and Highland. I'm like, I could have just went there instead of, you know what I mean? So I missed Deion Cole, Bill Burr, who I've been trying to see for years.
Bill Burr's amazing.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
You seen him?
Yeah.
Oh. I haven't seen him live, but I watch him on YouTube.
I've been wanting to see him
live. It's funny.
For
I actually
years.
Got invited like last minute to see him on the 4th.
Really?
Yeah, my friend's there today. I didn't get to see him this show, but I was like, if you had told me like literally before the show was about to start, I would have gone because Bill Burr's a very funny guy.
Exactly. Hilarious. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I lied to y'all. I did get to see him at the Laugh Factory. I was hanging out for Chocolate Sundays.
Okay.
And he popped in. And was working on some new material.
Well, that's the good thing about being in LA is because those guys will pop in.
Yeah,
definitely. So I wasn't at the Battle Royale show, but I was hanging out at the Comedy Store, and somebody was like, Dave Chappelle got a tat. And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, I heard Dave Chappelle got a tat tonight. So I went to Twitter because everything goes to Twitter
100%,
first.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and then I seen the dude, like, tackle him. And then the next day, I seen a video of him, like, whooping his ass in the corner.
That guy got
attacked. They whooped his ass, man.
Well, that's like, my friend funny. Was, my friend introduced me to this person at the bar last night. And, or not last night, the night before. It was Wednesday, or was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday.
Tuesday,
it was Tuesday, because
it
was 2-for-1 Tuesdays. And so...
2-for-1.
She had 4-for-5.
That's a collective memory.
So my friend invites this guy over, and he's like, I just left the Hollywood Bowl, and Dave Chappelle got attacked. And then security pulled the guy off of him, and he's like, yeah, beat his ass. Kill that motherfucker. He was like, apparently, he could hear what Dave Chappelle was yelling, because he was close enough.
Really?
And like, yeah, he was like,
shit.
He was telling security to get that guy.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I think Dave got some licks in, too.
I think he said, I'm going to kick his fucking ass. I think he did.
Yeah.
But here's the question, because... I've never been to the Hollywood Bowl.
You haven't?
I know. It's so weird.
You grew up here.
I didn't grow up here, but...
told me he did.
No, I've lived here for a long time. I've had tickets to see things at the Hollywood Bowl, and for whatever reason...
I've only been once.
I got stood up and things
me
like
too.
That. And you saw a comedy show there, which is different than a rock show.
Yeah.
How does somebody get on stage?
I can't figure that out.
They said he was in the front fucking row. Well, like he was right there.
It would have to
he
be
had
the front
to be.
Row.
Yeah.
But isn't there a barricade?
But how did he get in with the gun in the first place? Did they have a gun? Like a, did
I didn't hear that.
It was a knife shaped like a gun. Like it was. It looked like a gun, and then you could pull out a knife.
Damn.
From
it was.
Yeah. How do you get through security with that?
They did have a metal detector.
A switchblade. Well, I guess it was hidden in the gun.
It was hidden in the gun. Yeah, the metal gun.
But he might have jumped a fence somewhere.
It's no telling because.
That's crazy.
In Houston, they jump fences, right? That's how they act.
And you got, I would think the stage is elevated, right?
It is.
Yeah, it looked. I was up kind of high.
Well,
I wasn't that close.
So I know that.
Shout out
no,
to my
No, you make a very good point.
Tickets.
I was told he was a bigger guy. Like, he was a bigger, strong guy.
He ran, like, football player. Did you
No, he ran fast.
Ran like
yeah, he did.
But I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I've seen the Greek theater and things like that.
Yeah.
There's no way you can get to the stage. Right. I don't know how you do it at the College Bowl.
Yeah. No, he had already bought this ticket for the front row.
No,
he had planned this. You know, he definitely planned it.
Yeah. Sure.
Because when I cracked up when he goes, "Triumphs, man." The way he said it with that accent. That's what made me laugh
What did he say?
Triumphs, man.
He goes, "Triumphs, man, hit me."
Oh, Dave Chappelle. After the fact, he made a joke.
But you know, that guy was already planning it because
he
was probably mad about some trans joke from years ago, and he's already bought his ticket.
Probably so.
He had this all planned out.
Well, that's like
it was not $200
to tackle Dave Chappelle. Yeah.
He paid a lot of money for
that's
that
what
front
I was thinking,
row.
Like, you paid money to get your ass whooped and your arm twisted backwards.
I don't think that went the way he thought that was going to go.
No, it didn't. He thought he was going to be a hero.
And if you don't like trans jokes, what is going to see Dave Chappelle for?
Right. He went there to punch him. That's
yeah,
why
he did
went.
For sure.
Well,
he
failed miserably. And I'll tell you
exactly.
That.
He's the joke. He's the punchline.
TMZ has a video of him after he tackles Dave Chappelle. He tries to run off stage. And he's getting cut off, so then he runs behind the big ass monitor they have, and then you just see a group of guys going that way, and I'm like, oh, you don't even know, man, you run into the Thunderdome, like they beat the shit out of you.
As I said, Dave Chappelle was like, beat his ass, kill that guy.
And you know Chris Rock got a couple licks in too.
Yeah, I actually the night that happened, I seen Chris Rock. I was running to my car, afraid it was about to get towed in this little lot near the comedy store. And Chris Rock was just walking by himself with some headphones, Beats headphones on and shit. And I'm running, he kind of jumped. And I'm like, oh shit, that's Chris Rock. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to stop, but I can't afford to get my car out the impound.
So he's still jumpy from the slap, I guess.
I think so, man.
That would be a little traumatizing because you really don't see it coming. And if you're involved in any sort of assault, you get a little like scared.
Facts.
You know?
Yeah, I'm worried.
Like, oh shit!
I mean, the songs that I sing.
Yeah.
I ought to get punched in the face every day, right?
Singers seem to be safe.
I'm just like
singers seem to be safe, but the thing is, like at the Comedy Store, or the Laugh Factory, or someplace like that. It's easy to jump on stage.
Absolutely.
But Hollywood Bowl, it seems like that would be a time.
That is what I'm saying. And he had it planned, dude.
Maybe people are more lax because it's comedy. Because I'm like, you know, I've been
That's
in so
true.
Many rap concerts and musicians.
High security on that.
People usually in the front of the
Even just
stage.
Going to the club, I have to pass through security and have my purse checked.
Right.
Well, you had to go through security.
Yeah, we went through security. But it was so many people there, and
so they didn't pat it down.
We didn't get patted down at all. We just went through the metal detector.
They go like that on you.
They didn't even do that. No, you walk through the
metal
detector. Yeah, that's it, man.
And they just go like that on your pants.
That's weird.
They didn't even do that.
Oh, then they just didn't have good enough. In Houston, boy, I'm telling you, it's thick security in Houston.
Yeah,
it really is. I can't believe that thing happened. Since I had lived here, I wasn't there when that that recently during COVID when that big. Situation happened in Houston and those people got shot and all that stuff. So, but really, they have such tight security. I couldn't believe that happened, except people jumping fences, right?
It might have been too many people and not enough staff because every show was sold out.
Well, as a concerned citizen, they better fix that because if someone can get a gun or a gun, in quotes, in there, someone could get a real gun and then that could be a whole different situation. That's very scary.
Well, y'all. We don't want to ruin comedy at the Hollywood Bowl. I gotta be brave, man. Let's go there and kick some people's ass. If they jump on stage, I'm ready to pound them, fucking break that arm backwards, get that shoulder out of socket, dude. Let's go.
Being
Come
a comedian
on.
Is like being a rapper
That's
now.
That's more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's attacking rappers now.
Yeah, and what's funny is I did a show that night that happened at the Bourbon Bar.
Okay.
And a dude jumped on stage on my boy who was hosted.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was.
This is going to be
like
a thing.
A young kid,
People are
going to
start doing this shit. That's crazy.
He looked like Sid from Toy Stories. He had braces and stuff, and he was heckling everybody. The comedian before my boy went back up to host really got on him. He said he looked like, I forget the name. It's from the TV show Billions and stuff. He clowned the shit out of the young
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, so dude was upset. So he got up on stage and everybody looked like, oh shit, what the fuck is about to happen? And Aaron like, bro, get the fuck out of here, whatever. He like, I just need 30 seconds. I got some material I want to get off.
Oh my God.
That happens all the time in LA where people go up and like, I want to do time. It's like, no. But the only time
he gets his joke out of his pocket.
I've had fights break out in the audience.
Really?
During my set. I had two fights break out during my set once, but I've never had anybody come to the stage and attack me. I've had people come up to me at the show.
Okay,
But I've never had somebody attack me
It's crazy.
On stage. The only really incident that I know that got viral was my friend Tino Sanchez in Vegas kicked a guy at an open mic that went on stage. I thought it was fake at first.
Yeah.
But I thought the Will Smith thing was fake, but I guess neither one of them were fake.
Well, yeah, see, my son, he's 19, and when he saw that guy, you know, tackling him, he goes, well, I guess everybody just thinks they can do that now because of Will Smith.
Yeah.
And then Chappelle goes, is that Will Smith? And I go, son, you called it. Like, he had the punchline before Dave Chappelle. Yeah. Like, everybody thinks they can just do that now.
And as a comedian, I think people automatically assume, like, they could beat your ass for some reason.
Well, people assume that they could do comedy first.
Everyone wants to beat up a clown. Face it.
What? No, seriously?
All right. This happened to me. You want to have a bad clown story? I had a flat tire broken down on the freeway. If you are waving your thumb and you're on the side of the road as a clown, people will throw beer bottles at you. It's Texas, right? Yell at you, honk, throw anything, dude. It is the worst thing. You can't get help. This is before cell phones.
Wow.
Actually, cell phones were a brand new thing. And I finally, my tire was flat, so I walked over off the freeway over to where there was a shopping center, and it happened to be a cell phone company was having a grand opening. So as I stood there, people thought I was just a grand opening clown, and no one would help me.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Here's the worst one. I was doing an Albertsons grand opening. And right beside it was a car wash. I had my brand new outfit. It was brand new shoes, man. They were like $350 at the time. That was a lot of money for these clown shoes. They were brand new leather. And I slipped in that soap from the car wash. No. Whoa! Everyone died laughing. They're taking pictures. They're just on their roll. No one would help me up.
Yeah, the clown broke their hip.
Brad's got a broken hip. Yeah.
That's funny. How would you handle somebody going up on stage during your set?
Like, how would I handle it? I would vehemently tell them not to, and I would make sure they didn't.
Yeah.
And you and I are big enough; we could probably intimidate somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
But somebody like Chris Rock. That's a whole different story.
Right.
Short. Yeah. Chappelle's totally buff these days, but that's a whole different story. But
yeah.
And by the way, Will Smith's getting divorced. I saw that today.
Really?
Oh yeah. Wow!
Thank God.
Oh shit!
Yeah. So that didn't turn out well for anybody.
Who filed? You know.
His daughter. No.
I think he's filing.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's embarrassing. Shit. I used to have the biggest crush on Will Smith.
Well, now he's free. Now you got him.
He's a wuss. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
He'll smack you around. He'll be good. Yeah.
No.
The cold part about that situation was the fact that he laughed initially and then saw her reaction. And then he reacted.
Yeah.
Exactly. He is so pussy whipped. There is no way that he's attractive to a woman now. Any level. Any woman, anywhere.
I wouldn't say that, but.
Okay, he's got money. That's attractive.
He's got money. Yeah. He's good looking.
Money's attractive.
He's a good actor.
Anyone.
He's good looking.
He's a great actor. It doesn't matter if you can act. Look at Johnny Depp. Do you ever want it? Are you ever attracted to Johnny Depp ever again?
I wasn't attracted to him before.
I was. Not now.
If you're to scat, maybe. I don't know. But to answer your question from 5 minutes ago, Brandon, I've had people get up like they were going to go to this.
Yeah.
And I make sure to shut them down before they eat.
Okay.
But I don't know how far they were going to be. And my whole thing with the Will Smith thing is I think he thought security was going to grab him.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, you've been in those bar fights where you're like, hold me back. And then
right.
Tough guys. So he's a fake tough guy. Nicole?
Yes?
Can you believe that's been an hour already?
We've got so much accomplished. Really? We've had so many stories.
Like 20 minutes.
So no, we got more. I'm just saying, has every show on 2022 has been fucking great.
It's amazing, yeah.
And then next week... Tommy Chong returns.
Tommy Chong returns.
Tommy Chong?
Yeah, Tommy Chong.
Is he on your show?
I mean, on my show.
Oh, can I come back and be a groupie?
Well, no.
I'll just hang in the corners. I won't bother anybody.
It's going to be on Zoom, but if you have any questions for him, let me know.
Yeah, okay. We'll totally take questions if you have some for him.
Oh, my God. I was just trying to butt on in because I do love Tommy Chong.
I will send you the last time he was on our show.
Yeah, it was great.
He was fantastic.
I'm going to have to watch it.
No, no, yeah.
Are we doing this in the studio or Zoom again?
It's going to be on Zoom.
All right.
But...
It's hard to get, I mean, he's a busy man, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My first time to ever smoke weed. My friend, okay, she's in Maui right now. She just sent me her pictures that she's at in Maui. Her big sister took us to the drive-in to see Cheech and Chong up in smoke, and it was our first time to smoke weed. We were freshmen. It was the summer before our freshman year. We got so stoned and so sick. Oh, my God. And I loved Cheech and Chong up in smoke.
Yeah.
Nice dream.
He's a busy man.
Every single
weed.
Movie
he's
they've done.
Smoke weed. He's got to get all his bongs.
I saw him live in Houston. They actually did their skits.
Yeah.
With just two chairs and turn around like really avant-garde, like
old school theater.
Just Cheech and Chong doing that. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. But let me, before we go, I gotta get you to talk to us about your album because I listened to it today.
Oh, yay.
Fun Box. Well, yeah, if you're going to call something Fun Box, I'm going to check it out.
Right.
So, but, but what was surprising to me because I heard the first song I heard was really hard rock and I was like, okay, I got this. And then, you know, I heard about your blues influences. I mean, you're really into the blues. And so there's influences there, but I was surprised. Some industrial and techno touches and some pop touches.
Everything is on my record, right?
It's a really
like, it's kind of like a everything got thrown in, but it still doesn't matter to me because I got to pick the songs.
Yeah.
They're all mine.
But you rap a little too.
I rap? Oh, you haven't heard my nasty rap. See, my rap's not on my record.
At ASCAP, I
rapped with everybody.
Really?
I rapped with Boston, Compton, every city. They were all together, and I was the only female, and I was the only from Texas.
Okay.
And I'm the only white person, too, right? Doesn't matter, dude.
No.
It don't matter. They love me, right? They fucking, my boys love me.
Well,
They know me. My boys are out there right now.
It's hard to quantify, but some white people have soul and some don't. Some black people have soul and some don't.
That's true.
One of my favorite things is to watch the reaction videos on YouTube and like, the Righteous Brothers are white.
Yeah, they freak out.
Yeah, but they got soul, and you got soul too. And it was a very interesting listen.
Thank you.
See, I like a lot of variety. I like listen to a lot of different things.
When someone tells me I have the blues, that's such a compliment. I almost want to start crying.
Well, no, but I mean, you talk online about B.B. King sang directly to you.
He did, baby. Really? He sang every song. Okay, here's how close I was. And he's right here, and his sweat was getting on me. I'm not kidding you.
How does that feel?
Oh, my God.
How does B.B. King's sweat feel?
Magic. Like rain, baby. Like rain.
He's a big dude.
I was so happy.
Him and Lucille.
Yeah. And it was Lucille.
Yeah.
And he's just swinging, and he's just singing. And he was looking at me because he could not believe that there's a 20... I was 22, but he was looking at this blonde girl on the front row going, how does this girl... know every song. This white girl, she's on the front row, she's going crazy. How in the world does this woman know my songs? And he literally just sang right into my eyes for the entire concert.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
And he put that into me. And it felt like he was saying, I'm passing this on to you, baby, because I know you appreciate it. And then my boyfriend at the time was just freaking out. And see, he wrote a song called BB Smiled on My Baby.
Oh, man.
And he wrote another song that said BB Sweat All Over Me.
No, he wrote another song called Nine Kind of Hills, A Lot of Hell to Raise. And that was about me.
I can imagine.
And Nine Kind of Hills, A Lot of Hell to Raise.
Well, let me get to that, then we'll get back to the album. But,
nine kinds of screaming, eight kinds of bitching.
I have a feeling. You're wild, huh?
I didn't get to 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 yet.
Let me get right to one because we do have a question that we ask most of our guests, and I'm gonna ask both of you. I sort of asked Brandon before, so I think I know what the answer is. What is your fetish?
What is my fetish? Oh, yeah, what do you like? Feet. He's not really feet.
No, we'll get Brandon.
His fetish is older white girls.
Oh, yeah, Brandon. What is that your fetish, older white girl?
And my gender, you know what? Black guys.
Yeah,
you got a, I know you got a girlfriend. I'm getting you in trouble, but yeah.
You are. I was supposed to get married in 6 months.
Oh, shit. I'm already married 23 years.
I've never been with a white girl before. I've tried.
Really?
But yeah.
I've never been with a white guy.
Really?
What?
And I haven't tried yet.
I think we got a swingers party coming in.
I did kiss one. Yeah. He was really hot, and I wanted to see how soft his lips were. I was like... You want to find out? Oh, I want to get married.
No, 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 no. I don't want. No, I don't want your girlfriend.
No, I do not want to find out.
He's gonna not get married if I do that shit.
Nicole, you want to switch seats? Yeah.
Oh, I'm messing with you.
Yeah. But what is your fetish, Brandon? What's a weird thing you're into? Or you're not even weird thing, but something you like. What is your fetish? What turns you on?
Oh man,
since we already got you in trouble with your girlfriend, tell us.
You know what I found out coming up that turned me on? When a woman like licks and kisses my earlobe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I didn't know. I was like, woo! First time it happened, I was like, oh shit, this is, hold on now.
Every man should know that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that the kiss behind the ears and also the little spot.
Back of the neck.
Back of the neck. The little spot behind the knee. There's all sorts
of things. That definitely works for women. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Kiss those knee dimples back there.
Yeah. What about squeeze that upper thigh right below the butt cheek?
Squeeze that upper thigh. That's a good one. Put your hand under the butt, catch the juice, the whole thing. Right. Yeah.
I don't think feet qualifies for me because I'm not. It's some dudes that get deep with feet.
Yeah. Well, I know that.
I don't.
Eddie Murphy. Yeah, we are all about that.
And, right.
But he likes big feet.
Right. I just appreciate.
He likes man
pretty feet. Like, okay, those are cute. All right, I wouldn't mind sucking those this evening. Yeah. Absolutely, but all that other shit, like crushing eggs.
So you're like, so no corns, no bunions.
Step on a cake.
Yeah, right.
Like, but I am not showing my feet
at all. Let me see you turn that magazine with your toes. Like, oh, my God. Oh, did you just do that? Like, yeah.
Oh, he's got a good voice, right?
Yeah, no, he's good. You guys, we got to get you guys to
that. That low voice, I'm going to use
oh,
that.
Oh, my God, look at you. Oh, who taught you that? Thought you said you go to church. What are you doing? Oh, is that Vogue? Oh, my God. Flip that page. Flip it.
With your second toe.
Right.
Yeah, you're that pinky, baby. You're that pinky going. Huh?
Look at that big toe. Oh, my.
Can I just put one toe in it? I've had guys ask me that. Only really? One guy. But I said, hell no.
Were you clowning? Were you miming? Or were you just being
No, I just remember that. Can I just put one toe in it?
Has anybody ever asked you to, like, wear your clown outfit? No makeup?
My husband. No, I'm kidding. No, he doesn't. As long as we've been married, we never did it when I was a clown.
Okay.
But we have met other cranky, like kinky clowns.
Mm. Okay.
Like, we've met this girl, and I was going to hire her, and she gives me her card. I'm like, give her my card. Like, we do kids' birthday parties and everything. And she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, well, this is my clown outfit. And then she shows me because it was the Houston Rodeo, and then it's got like a G-string. And I'm like, wait, what? And she goes, oh, well, we're fetish clowns, and when guys, like, they get off by the balloons popping.
Oh, no, that's a fetish.
I had never heard of it, y'all. And so then I tried to get my card back from her, because I'm like, and the bartender, he already knew this. He saw it coming. He already knew who she was. And I'm trying to get my card back. And then the girl started crying.
Oh.
And I had to go out in the back and, like, console her. Like, I'm sorry, you're a hooker and you can't work for me. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
So what turns you on, Cherry? What is your fetish?
I really like that kissing on the ear and the back of the neck thing. All right.
Everybody says that. No, nobody's like, I'm just flopping.
I think all girls like kissing.
Really?
Yeah.
I think a kissing is very underestimated.
Yeah. Okay. And also, if you're a bad kisser, we know.
Oh, if you're a bad kisser,
we don't like
that's
that.
Over.
That's an ender, right?
That's done deal.
Yeah. Women, we care a lot about how guys kiss.
It really does.
Yeah.
The way you taste and everything.
Yeah.
And
y'all, Saturday night, press and check.
If y'all can come Saturday night, I'm going to be doing a show. And I'm singing a song. A producer called me, and his name is Paul Maselli.
Yeah.
Maselli? And he wrote this song called Sweet Lips, Sweet Lips, Sweet Kiss. Mm. And he sent it to me, and I've been working on it all day, all week, and I'm singing it At 11:30 Saturday night.
At the Rainbow, or where's this at?
No, no, at the Universal Bar and Grill.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. On Lancashire.
I'm doing. Yeah. What time do you go on?
I go on at 11:30 to midnight. Okay, I have a half hour set, so I'm going to be singing some of my songs, and then I'm going to do the finale with Pauly's song, and it is a hit song, y'all. It's a sexy fucking song.
I used to go to high school with somebody we nicknamed Sweet Lips.
Really? Sweet Lips. I wish someone called me that in high school.
Right. Beth Applegate, Sweet Lips. But anyway, so yes, but I was going to, before we, I mean, I could talk to you all day. You both, I guarantee, I think Nicole's with me.
Oh, yeah, great.
Rebooked plenty of times.
This was fun, y'all.
This is fun.
Appreciate it.
But you performed at the 50th anniversary of the Rainbow.
You saw me there? Did you see me there?
No, I didn't see you there. I'm not going to sit there and wait in line and brave the crowds and sit there with 20.
I honestly did not perform there. How did you?
10,000 heavy metal guys and three girls. I don't think so. But,
and I'm one of the three. That's where I go, baby.
And you're married.
Why do you think I go?
I saw a post where you said that you performed at the 50th anniversary. But
no, I didn't perform there. Someone else posted that. No, that was one of my friends. He saw me there. Okay, John Anders has known me since, I think, the first time he saw me. We were at a concert in San Antonio. I was 17 and he was 19, and it was Ted Nugent. And Ted Nugent was singing every song to me. I have this thing where I get the singers to sing to me. So I wore these chains around my neck, and it was stranglehold. And I was going, "Got you in a stranglehold, baby." And I'm acting this shit out on the front row. So Ted Nugent gave me my first backstage pass. I didn't know what it was. I never had one. I didn't know what it was. And it was like a sticker, and it had like a signature, and I just thought it was a sticker. And then everyone started like attacking me, and like, okay, it was rough. It's like heavy metal. Everyone's wearing spikes in the 80s, and then San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're tackling me with all these freaking spikes. So I got away, and I went into the bathroom, and I hid. Well, it turns out that the guy that posted that, he was next to me.
You know, it's all making sense now. I think Dave Chappelle had a Ted Nugent backstage pass on him, and that's why the guy haggled.
Well, anyway, that was just a friend of mine that has seen me so many concerts,
right.
And he saw my red hat, and he goes, "The legendary Cherry Rockefeller is here at the Rainbow," and he came all the way from Austin, Texas, and he came running when he saw me.
Yeah, but he had a picture of you singing, and that's why I thought you would perform.
He had a picture of me singing. Yeah. Well, honestly, thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you, John. But let me. But before we,
he's known me my whole life. He just keeps singing me at concerts.
Before we go, and this is some illustrious.
I'm not kidding.
Cherry, this is some illustrious company. Ted Nugent is saying to you.
Yes.
B.B. King is saying
yes.
To you. Who else?
Steven Adler used to be my boyfriend.
What? Now, wait a second.
But he's not really a singer, but no, I did.
Wait, go back up. Because I know Steven Adler. I've met
you
Steven
do?
Adler. I don't hang out with him, but I've met him a few times and we've hung out.
He's a sweetheart,
huh? Sweetheart, but he's done a lot of drugs.
Oh, I know. That's why I broke up with him. Yeah. Oh, why do you think he got dumped, baby?
Brandon.
So,
Brandon,
okay.
He's the original drummer of Guns N' Roses.
Oh, okay.
He's gorgeous.
He
was gorgeous, and he's still pretty to me. Steven Adler, you're still pretty to me, baby.
He's a guy. He's done a lot. He did so many drugs.
Yeah.
That his face got melted.
They kicked him out of Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
Of Guns N' Roses, they kicked him out because he did so many drugs.
That's crazy.
But he had like a stroke, so he's sort of like, he's kind of fragile. He walks kind of funny. He's got, but you get him behind a drum kit still today. He's
still
fucking amazing.
Oh,
dude,
no,
you've never seen anybody any sexier, cuter, or prettier than him in the 1980s.
I looked in the mirror. What are you talking about?
Okay, this is how I met Steven Adler.
Please,
at the Rainbow.
I want to hear this.
This is a good story.
I want to hear this.
Yeah.
Okay, you remember when everybody used to post their little posters and billboards everywhere when they were going to do a gig?
No, so, I was 10, but
okay, well, I wasn't. He wasn't. Okay. Well, anyway, so I'm outside the Troubadour, and I see this, like, poster, and there's this cutest freaking blonde on the picture. And I told my friend, I said, "That's the one I want. I don't care what he does. He's mine." So for 2 weeks, I looked, and then I was at the Rainbow, and I saw him in the parking lot 2 weeks later, and he did this to me. I said, "That's my guy. I told you."
For our radio listeners, that's a universal sign for licking pussy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, anyway. Okay, my husband's going to die. Well, anyway, that's what he did. I mean, he goes, like, the V, he goes, and I go, okay, that's my boyfriend. That's it. So, anyway, he was so grimy. They're really dirty. Like, they lived in a storage building. I lived on Poinsettia Place in the apartments. It was like a brand new apartment building back then. So, you could walk from the Rainbow all the way down Sunset and end up at the Poinsettia Place. But in between my apartment and the Rainbow was their storage building where they lived. And it's literally dirt floors, no running water. It's literally horrible, horrible. So Adler's drum kit was underneath this makeshift bed that Slash slept on top of. Mm-hmm. He like had a bunk built above it. Like they just nailed up some boards and he slept up there.
Right. So this and is pre-fame, obviously.
This was dirt shit where they lived. It had no running water. They were so broke. And not only that, okay, so after I saw him do lick the V,
women never do it to us. You never have a woman go,
ever. Yeah.
They can't see this on the radio, but everyone knows when you put it's a gonna be V on, it's to gonna be on your YouTube. Mouth and you stick your tongue out the middle.
Cherry, this is a camera. This is a camera. I'm filming everything that you're doing, but go ahead.
Oh, my God. Adler's going to see this shit. Okay, all right, Adler.
Say hi,
all right, okay. Adler. Okay, this is for you, baby. Okay, so you remember whenever we walked home and you were so dirty and I wouldn't let you in my apartment. So this is what happened. I ain't kidding you. I had just gotten my ears double pierced at the beach, so I had two bottles of rubbing alcohol. So I said, I gave him both bottles of rubbing alcohol, and I made him go get in the shower and pour them all over his whole damn body. But before he came in...
A regular shower wouldn't do it. It had to be rubbing alcohol.
No, it was before that. I forgot the best part. The
he
best
was
part.
Dirty.
Okay, when he first knocked on the door, he's knocking on the door, and I'm looking through the hole, and I go... Because he had followed me home from the Rainbow. I go, I knew it was him, right? I go, well, before I let you in, I need a secret code. And I thought he was going to do this. No, he didn't. I go, do you have any finger tricks? He goes, dude, he can twirl those drums. I said, you can come on in.
He gave you the jazz hands.
He did this shit, and it was hilarious. So then I made him get in the shower and pour all this, like, rubbing alcohol, two bottles all over his whole body because he's hairy. He's half Italian, half Jewish. And I was only, like, I guess I was 18, so I'd never been around a hairy man, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, he's so dirty. I go, you can't even sit on my couch. So then he comes in, and he put his little cassette in. He put his little music on because he wanted me to hear his band, and I'd never heard his band. I didn't know anything about his band. I didn't know what instrument he played. And all of a sudden, it just started with, sweet child of mine. And I just went, whoa! Oh, my God! And then it went to, like, welcome to the jungle. And I was
Mr.
like,
Brownstone.
Oh, my God.
By the way, you could be a drummer because you've been banging on this fucking table the whole time.
Oh, well, the best thing is the one time that I did go over to their storage building, because I don't ever go there because it's dirty.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on his lap while he was playing the drums. And it was like a carnival ride.
Wow. So that could have been...
So you were fucking him while he was on the drum?
No, I was just saying, I was not... This has nothing to do with...
Then we all went there.
No, this was a very short relationship. This stuff only lasted like 3 months.
I fuck girls for 3 months.
Okay, well, I'm married, and I'm not going that far on this
show.
Okay, all
right.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't want to get divorced, and he's not even married yet, and I don't want to get divorced, and I've been married 23 years.
You're going to have to read her tell-all book. She may mention it.
Your girlfriend's going to kill me. You realize?
Hey, look, I'm not going to show her the show, because I did one podcast. I did a podcast and I mentioned like seeing a girl's pussy and I'm like, man, this is like the prettiest pussy ever seen.
Oh, you don't say the prettiest, you say one of the prettiest.
And the reason it was on because my mom said something. Let me watch that podcast episode. Shit. So I went downstairs with my brother-in-law. He's smoking the blunt. I come back upstairs. My fiance is like, so who had the prettiest pussy you see? I'm like,
it was you, baby. It was you.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You know it it was me, baby, because you came out of me.
That right away, did
I
you?
Did. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, Mom, I think it's time for you to go to the house because we got to talk a little bit. I was like, oh, this is a long time ago. This is way before us, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was crazy.
See, my mom is like super Baptist and very ladylike.
Yeah.
And my whole family is extremely Christian. And in fact, the guy that I did my record with, Rex Schnelly, he is a music minister in Nashville.
Wow. Okay.
So five times that I went to Nashville to record my record, not one time would he invite me to his church. Dude, he's embarrassed to invite me to his church.
Yeah.
That's shame. I'm sorry, Rex. Eat shit. You should invite me to your church.
Are you going to wear the 7-inch heels if he invites you?
What kind of Christian is that?
Are you going to wear the 7-inch heels if he invites you to church?
That's why he didn't invite me.
Okay. Now, Brandon, let me ask you. And we got to go, but okay. Let me ask you. And trust me, both of you are going to be guests again. You guys are hilarious.
I'm down.
We're going to mix and match with our other great guests. It's going to be great. But, Brandon, did your father see your comedy special?
You know what? No, he didn't. But he's been asking me, like, man, when you going to get some stuff for TV or something, man? I'm like, well, you know, I'm working on that. He like...
like they don't get YouTube in prison or...
You know what? No, I don't think they do. My father has been in there so long, right? And he's been...
He doesn't even know what YouTube is.
I don't think he does. He may or may not, right? But he hasn't gotten in trouble in prison in about 25 years.
That's great.
So he's afraid to, you know, it's cell phones in there. People got cell phones in there that they smoke. He's afraid to even touch a cell phone, right?
I can see that. Yeah.
He, coincidentally, a childhood friend of mine, he's like family. Him and my father were cellmates for a minute. And this individual had a cell phone and my father used it like twice. And when he called me, hey, what's going on?
He was scared.
I'm like, yo, hello?
Yeah,
no, I just called to check on you and the family.
His family.
Man, why don't you call me collect and I'll pay for the call because I can't hear you.
Dude, he took a risk. That's
He did take a risk. So, no YouTube. I'm hoping, you know what I mean, and in prayer that I could get something that comes on regular TV that he can see because he's
That'd
like,
be great.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell people, like, that's my son, man. Yeah. That's right. So, yeah.
Well, what about your grandma?
My grandmother, I did something for Revolt TV called Funny AF.
Yeah.
I was on the first season. I did a comedy special on there. And my grandmother and my mama actually got to go to the taping with me.
Awesome.
And just by chance, you know, God, they gave me my own dressing room. So it was like several other comedians there. And they're like, who the fuck is this dude? Like, you know what I mean? So my grandma got to experience that. And a lot of my early material was about her because I live with her.
Right.
So it was so dope. Yeah, absolutely. And the church is seeing that. And, you know, I got her on social media. And she feeling like a celebrity. Yeah. So I'm happy my grandma got to experience that. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
She loved it.
She loves the attention. Yeah. I took her to a couple stand-up shows, like at the Comedy Store that I had booked. And people be like, wait, who is it? I'm like, this is Daisy.
Oh, you Daisy? Is your grandma's name?
Yeah, my grandmother's name
awesome
is Daisy
name.
May.
Daisy May?
Yeah, she's from Mississippi.
Woo,
originally,
I'm telling you, that's a southern name, right?
Yeah.
We know these things.
Yeah, and so they freak out when they see her, like, oh, you was in the audience.
You're
when
the
you
famous
was in
Daisy May.
Daisy
I bet
May.
Your grandma had hot pants when she was young.
Probably so. I did. I've seen her in a picture in a mini skirt back in the day when that was like crazy.
That's,
right.
Yeah, that's risky. Risky.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful woman.
Exactly.
Then and now. So, yeah, man, I'm happy I actually fell into comedy. I used to want to be a clown. I learned how to ride a unicycle and juggle.
Really?
Yeah, I just never
that
pursued it.
Skills,
I didn't know about college and all of that stuff.
I was going to ask you to freestyle, but I don't know if we got time, but maybe next time.
Next time.
We'll make balloon animals. I'll teach you how to make a big
he
dick.
Doesn't have that
no,
fetish.
Kidding.
He doesn't have
kidding.
That fetish.
I would never do that.
Pop
Nicole,
it
how much fun was this?
This was great.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
Cherry. Tell
I
everybody
only
how-
make nice balloon animals, like little dogs,
yeah,
cats.
Little I love it. Yes, I love it.
Yes, little cherries, little, yes. Stephen Adler's favorite, your little, yeah. That is.
Stephen! Okay, remember that
so
3 years ago
Stephen.
When they had the Rainbow Reunion? Did you go to that one?
I went
and
to
Adler's play?
I went to a show at the Key Club where they had Adler, Izzy, and Slash. It was great. Adler's Appetite, and they had Jizzy Pearl and all these guys that were in bands at the same time, And when Slash and Izzy came on stage, you could tell who were the superstars and who were the guys that were good but not great.
Can I ask y'all a question real quick?
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time. So were you two like around on Sunset during like that height that I seen like documentaries about, like
Jerry,
the Viper Room and all of that?
Me, I was.
Really? Wow.
Was,
no,
she...
I lived here from 84 to 87.
Okay, wow.
She was in rap videos. She was in
everything. Yeah. I know Motley Crue. Poison! CeCe.
Did you date anybody? Did you date
CeCe? At the Rainbow. He's one of my friends. Okay, I didn't even know that Amir, who played the Rough Cut, that he was in Orgy.
Right.
Wow.
I did not know this. Amir, I need you. I want you as my guitar player.
Well, Jerry.
I had no idea. These are friends of mine from when I was a teenager, and I never knew they would be famous.
Well, you know, with what...
I couldn't believe how many people became
famous.
Well,
with what Orgy's doing lately, I think Amir's available.
No, Orgy, let me tell you, at the Rainbow, that guy got off the stage. He came down, and he was grinding up behind me. And so, with my phone, all I have is his button. Like, you see, his button and his pinstripe. See, that's how close he is to me. So, I grabbed his ass. I spanked his ass. I spanked him twice. And then I spanked him the third time, and I grabbed his ass. And these girls go, "We can't believe you did that." I said, "They call himself Orgy."
I can believe it. Now, Cherry.
Dude, he liked it. Yeah.
Now, Cherry, grab the mic and tell us where.
I get every singer to sing to me. Well, they come off the stage and they get down and they come up to me and they grind their fucking butts on me. I can't help it.
Well, before you make me grind my butt on you, please grab the mic, Cherry, and tell everybody.
Oh, I'm not even talking into the mic.
No.
This is a
no,
singer
trust me,
that doesn't know how to use a microphone.
Cherry, we heard you. Cherry, tell
I know I don't need one.
We're wrapping up the show. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and tell us about that UBG date and other future dates that you
Okay, made. I'm going to be Saturday night at the Universal Bar and Grill, and I'm going to be singing from 11:30 to midnight.
Right, I probably will make it. Yeah.
And then at the Trip Bar, which is in Santa Monica, I'll be singing on Monday night, which I'm always there on Monday nights. That's like my home bar. That's like my homies. And you can find my record anywhere you want to buy my record, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. It's called Cherry Rockefeller, C-H-E-R-I-R-O-C-K, Rockefeller. Yeah, the problem is it's not Rockefeller. It's Rockefeller. I rock the fucking guys, dude. Fellas.
You were Rockefeller before Jay-Z.
Way before Jay-Z. All right, could be his mama. Well, okay, I'm not quite old enough to be his mama. But if he wants to pretend that I'm his mama, I'm all in.
He's like 50. I think he's older than you. But and on social media, how do people get a hold of you?
They can go to Instagram, the Cherry Rockefeller.
Uh-huh.
They can go to my Facebook, or they can buy my record on CherryRockefellerMusic.com.
Nice. Go.
And I would really appreciate that because I make a lot more money if you buy it from me than from the Spotify or iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't get diddly squat.
Right.
But if you buy it from me, I will shout you out. I'll be like, yay! Like John Anders bought a shirt from me. John Anders bought a t-shirt from me. He came to the Rainbow and he had me posted. It's all because of that one guy, honestly, where you saw me. I did not perform at the Rainbow. It's from one person. It's just making one friend that believes in you, right?
Yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
I believe in you, and I also believe in Brandon.
Hey.
Brandon's freaking awesome.
Brandon's awesome. I
can't believe it. I can't wait to go to see his show. And not only that, I have to get the clothes.
Yeah.
He's funny.
I follow
he's
both
talented. He's sweet. He's a good man. So. And he's a damn good designer of fashion.
And you know what? I agree with you. That's why I'm trying to get the attention over to him.
Well,
Brandon.
I'm just trying to sell clothes here for him.
Brandon, how do people get a hold of you? Give us all your social media.
Yeah, please follow me on Instagram at I am Brandon Black. That's BrandonBlack. If you will, I would greatly appreciate it because nowadays the numbers matter for some reason. You know what I mean? So follow me on Instagram there. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm on there occasionally at Mr. Brandon Black. So I appreciate both of you for having me today, too.
This is such an honor that y'all would invite us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Love
honestly,
that I got to meet Cher.
Me and Brandon, we're just fucking entertainers. We're nobodies. And y'all found us and invited us. And I can't be more honored in my life, right? Are you shocked?
Absolutely.
I did not expect this. I really didn't.
There you go.
And I hope Brandon gets married and has a lot of babies. Yeah. Anyway, I have five babies, and I hope you have five babies, Brandon.
Nicole, how do people get a hold of you?
I am Nicole6Books on Instagram, and I am Nicole H6 on Facebook. And if you go to lulu.com and look up Nicole Six, you'll find my latest book.
Nice.
Nicole Six. We're going to write a scary clown book. I want to write a book with you.
And Cherry is going to still be talking, but I am Mark. I'm goth comedian on all social media. I got shows coming up. I got all sorts of stuff. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week.
Bye. Dark, Mark.
Have a creepy week.
Dark.